Hey gang, thanks for listening to the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. This is Mitch. This is also sponsored by Prime Shape Fitness. If you are looking to get in better shape, look for me online or on Facebook at Prime Shape Fitness. Find my page, reach out to me. I'd love to help you out. I do online and in-person workouts. I can help you out either way. Now on to the Fun Off-Road Podcast. Hey gang, thanks for stopping in and listening to my little podcast out of Minnesota. A couple things I did for this podcast, it's two different parts actually. First part you're going to hear is I got to sit down and talk with a couple guys and to talk about a great charity that I'd love to have you guys hear more about. It's all about a wounded vet who's looking for some, he has some therapy needs. So just take a listen, you'll hear more about Colin and his what he has going on, and we want to thank him for his service and also the people who are cared enough to reach out to me so I could get involved in it. And I did my part, and I donated also. And I was moved to donate right at the beginning of the podcast. I got in there and found out how to do it, and you'll hear all about that, how to do that for yourself. And hopefully we can get the donations rolling in for this project. The second part I got to talk to one of the guys a little bit earlier about his Jeep, and I wanted to hear more about it. It's quite the build, and he got it all done and loves to wheel his Jeep. So you're going to hear all about Kevin and his LSLJ. So you got to stay in for that part. A couple things I did in my Jeep this week, not a whole bunch, to be honest with you. But I did do one thing. I got a new fire extinguisher holder. May not sound like much, but the one I had was just rigged up. It was two Velcro straps and pulled tight to the roll bar, and I decided, well, I'm going to dive in and actually buy one. And the reason I bought one is because they dropped in price. I think before I was looking at them, they were like $40. Now I think I got this one like 10 or 13 if it was pretty cheap on the old Amazon. Picked it up. Took 10 minutes to get it put on. I did it while the Vikings were doing terrible during a game yesterday. And I was mad at that. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go out the garage for a bit and do some repair therapy. So did some work on that. That's about all I got done so far this time around on my Jeep. Too busy doing other stuff. But again, hopefully get some other stuff done soon to the Jeep. I'm pretty excited for some big projects. Just a couple things I have to get lined up first. But I'm going to keep this segment short so you guys can listen to these next two segments and enjoy.
Welcome to CrossFit Off-Road Podcast. I have two guys on here. We're going to have a great conversation about a project they have going on. It's a fundraiser to build Colin a deck. And today we're going to find out from Butch. Say hi, Butch.
Hi, everybody.
And this is Kevin.
Hello.
Yep. So they're going to tell me all about a project they have, which I think is a great project. Kevin reached out to me here last week, and actually I already had his information to talk about something else, which is going to be part two of this podcast. We're going to talk about this important project first that he wanted to talk to me about and get the word out on. So first off, again, welcome, guys. But who wants to take the lead and kind of give me the basics on what we want to accomplish here today? All right, Kevin.
Kevin, you want me to go?
So what I am is I'm Freedom Riders Off-Road's, one of the co-founders of Freedom Riders Off-Road, and we're a veteran support group. And I had heard of this operation of building Colin Jorgensen a deck on the radio. And I reached out on the to the radio sponsors, and they ended up getting me a hold of Butch. And Butch, you want to tell them kind of what's going on and what was the project's for?
Absolutely. First off, I just want to say thanks to Mitch for, inviting us on here. Thanks to you, Kevin. Thanks to both of you, because the more we can shed light on this and more people that can hear about it can hopefully help Colin Jorgensen and his family with the deck. So Colin Jorgensen is a Army veteran, retired Army veteran. He was medically retired, served 24 years. He's 100% disabled. He can't work. And if you go to the GoFundMe page, there's a picture of him and his family, and it looks like he looks like us. He looks very normal, but there's a lot of invisible wounds that he has. And, he deals with chronic pain on a daily basis. And, for the last few months, he's been bedridden 15 to 18 hours a day with chronic pain. And so he's got, he was in a training accident back in 2003. He was overseas and he was enamored with daily mortar and rocket fire in Iraq, three spinal injuries. He's got injuries to both shoulders, both elbows, both wrists. He's had frequent migraine headaches. He's had seven surgeries and 5 years of physical therapy. And the part that he as far as the deck goes, he was donated a hot tub by Hot Tubs for Heroes, and he qualified for that. And that company doesn't actually do hot tubs, but they purchased a hot tub from another company that wanted help, and now he has a hot tub at the house. But he can't use it right now because the deck is not safe enough for him to walk on. And for him to go upstairs, to actually go from the grass climb up the stairs, up to the hot tub to get in is not very good for him. So we are trying to build him a deck. And so that way he can have access from the back of his house all the way across the deck. And he just steps right into the hot tub and for physical therapy for him. And then spend some quality time with his wife and their kids. And so the GoFundMe page that we have set up, the goal is about $10,000. And at the moment we have $2,474. And we're going to do our very best to try to get the deck built before winter sets in. That's the goal. One of my buddies who I teach with in the Anoka Hennepin District, he reached out to me and asked me if I had any contacts. And I said, yeah, I got some contacts. We can get things started. And it was actually his wife that noticed Colin at the school function and or high school function and said that, he doesn't look very well. And said, let's do something for him. So Jill Claggett told her husband that, and he called me. And then we got a hold of my buddy Chuck Law. And so the three of us, along with Jill, are trying to raise money and try to spread the word out. Steve Clagg has sent off an email to our school district, specifically to two different schools. And that email that he sent out prompted a staff member at one of the two elementary schools. And she said that she knew somebody at 102.9 The Wolf. And once 102.9 The Wolf got a hold of it, then they started spreading the word out. And then Kevin Miller got on board. I'm not going to talk for Kevin, but Kevin got a hold of me. And Kevin, certainly jump in, Kevin, let me know how you found out about it. But
I was actually on my way to work. And I work at DCTC College, where I teach diesel mechanics. But I was on my way, and I always listened to the radio, just one of those random days that I had that station on. And they were talking about this veteran that was injured that needed help with his deck. Well, I kind of reached out to the Wolf and was like, hey, I represent Freedom Riders. I'm one of the co-founders of it, and we like to help veterans, and that's kind of the point of Freedom Riders, is to be a peer support group for wounded veterans and first responders. So I reached out to them. They ended up giving me Butch's information. I reached out to him, what would you say, probably 10, 15 minutes after I reached out to you. You ended up getting a hold of me, and we talked. And I told him that I'd love to be involved with this, and I want to make this happen one way or the other. Within probably 12 hours, I had enough volunteers to build the deck. We were just short on funds. And right now that's kind of the big holdup factor of this, is we need to get the funds for the material. So I've reached out across every platform I possibly can, and we're slowly starting to get up there to where we need. And we're actually going to be out at Frontenac Farms, where we're really loving the support that Frontenac's given us for this at their fifth annual veterans run that they're doing on October 23rd. And they're partnering with Freedom Riders right now to do this. Then we were going to kind of use some of the money from Frontneck that they're raising to put towards replacing Jorgensen's deck for his hot tub. But that just kind of, that's the big picture of what's going on.
Yeah, so great. And so I want to touch back, and I work, we're messaging back and forth, but I want to touch back on why this deck is so important to Colin. And that's going to lead into some not so fun stats that Kevin's going to bring up. But in the end, though, this is very important. So I want to have you guys talk about it, because when Kevin was telling me this stuff, it made so much more sense for this guy to have a deck versus any other type of therapy. And so I'll let you guys talk about that a little bit.
So one of the biggest reasons Freedom Riders actually came about, I'm a former Marine. I got out in 2010, and I was actually helped by Wheel to Heal. And they helped me get my life back together so I didn't become one of these statistics. And when I moved back home here in the Midwest, I realized that there's no Wheel to Heal chapter up here. So me and my wife actually founded Freedom Riders because of these statistics and what kind of plagued my battalion. So the U.S. population right now is roughly 330 million. And the U.S. vet population is roughly 18 million. So that's 5% of the U.S. population is veterans, right? Now, this is where that actually comes into note. The yearly suicide rate for people right now is about 48,000 people a year commit suicide. Of that, 12,000 of them are veterans. That's 25% of the people that commit suicide every year are veterans. And a lot of that has to do with just the fact that there's no one out there to really support them or help them after they get out of the military, or they get into, you know, drugs to kind of ease the pain or try to help them forget about stuff. And of all that, pain management is one of the leading causes why people get addicted to drugs, because the VA is going to prescribe opioids or narcotics to kind of aid in that pain relief. Well, now they're trying to get away from that. So now more and more veterans are going to harder drugs or alcohol, which then contributes to the suicide rate. So when I found out that Colin Jorgensen was using his hot tub for pain management, that just made it that much more that I had to be involved in this. Because that's right up what Freedom Riders stands for, is helping veterans and finding ways to make things better for veterans.
Yeah, so the hot tub helps Colin out, because he has a lot of nerve damage and it's, you know, all throughout his body. So the heat of the hot tub helps him out. And obviously anything that we can do to help him, and, you know, less meds, the better, if we can actually do that. So that's a step in the right direction. And right now he can't use a hot tub because it's really difficult for him to walk up steps. And right now, in order to use a hot tub, he's got to walk up steps in order to get into the hot tub. So he's not using the hot tub. So with a brand new deck, you can just walk straight out of his house, right up the deck, steps, just step right into the hot tub. And there's this part of his therapy. And so we want to try to accomplish that for him.
That's awesome, because Kevin and I were talking earlier, and we got, as he mentioned, you already have people lined up to do the job. And they want to get it done by before the snow flies. And all we're really looking for, or you guys are looking for this project, is materials cost. And then the people who can go and do it and go help out, because other people kind of want to help out. You don't want me there. I'm a very bad carpenter. But I'm grunt labor. I'll pick stuff up and move it. I'm really good at that part. So if I can make it up there, I will. And one thing that they're talking about, too, this is a non-drug therapy. And as if you guys haven't done research or know about it, but the opioid crisis that's out there, there's movies about it, there's stuff you can watch, but trying to keep people off that because of how addictive it can be. and it only makes things worse in the long run. So this is a non-drug therapy, which is perfect. And this is exactly what helps him out. I can only imagine how much pain he's in on a daily basis. If you guys ever stubbed your toe and you walked across the room funny, you know, that's nothing compared to something like this where you have nerve damage and you can't get away with it. This is going to be there the rest of his life. So if this helps him out, obviously we want to help him do it. And you've reached out to some other people I know too that to help out. This is great. You know, I got mine. Am I ready to go here pretty soon? Gonna go figure out which card is on my Apple CarPlay, whatever the hell that thing's called. So you're gonna get $50 for me. And I'm gonna challenge the people, my listeners here, to kind of, you know, put a few bucks forward to this project. We're a quarter there. I say we. I'm not part of it. I'm just helping out as best I can. It's kind of like the Vikings. The Vikings won today. Everybody's gonna say we won, but we didn't do a thing. We just cheered. But we're on 2,500 right now, so we're a quarter of the way to that end goal. Hopefully, we get a big push. So it's the best way to find it. All I did is go to GoFundMe on the old. You have that computer right in your hand. Went to GoFundMe, typed in Colin Deck. It's pretty dang easy to find it. And the name of it is Please Help Us Build Colin a New Deck. Pretty simple. I just typed in Colin Deck and it popped up. It's the first one there. And so I'm going to do my donation here when I find the right card. And then hopefully that helps out and we get this done. I can only imagine how much this helps him. And he's going to be very appreciative of it. And that way he can be feeling better at the end of it. And he lives up in Anoka. Is that right?
Or Andover.
Okay. So that's where he's at. So he's around us here and he's going to school events and he's with you and you guys know him obviously. And so it's a huge deal. And Frontenac Farms is part of what's going to be at Frontenac Farms is going to be donated towards this also. And that's coming up on the 22nd, I
believe. October 22nd to October 24th when the event's going on.
That's a Veterans Weekend deal?
Yes, that's their fifth annual Veterans Run that they're going to do. And Freedom Riders, like I said, we're partnering with Frontenac Farms. We will be there all weekend, me myself personally, along with a bunch of other volunteers. And Freedom Riders is going to be actually selling stickers to help support this cause. We're going to be selling T-shirts. We're also providing dinner for everyone that attends this event at about 5:30, 6 o'clock. There's a raffle going on, and like I said, all the proceeds for this event are going towards veterans and the Colin Jorgensen project that we're doing to replace his deck. And I'm hoping to meet up with a bunch of people out there and a bunch of you listeners to come together and help this veteran who needs us. He served our country for 24 years. The least we can do is give him, you know, maybe an afternoon of our time.
Yeah,
and it sounds so trivial to think in the numbers of retrospect, 24 years of his life, he willingly served America and now he needs help. Me personally, it's a no brainer for me. I would be there right now if I had the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. But right now we're just kind of short on materials and the cost of them. So,
yep. This is a great cause, guys. And hopefully we can get this done and help them out. I'm looking at it as GoFundMe on my iPad. This is, you listeners at home, all these guys see me do is looking around, but what I'm looking at is the GoFundMe between my iPad and my phone, just so I can see who I'm talking to. So I see who I'm talking about and he looks like a great family and I just want to help him out. And hopefully we get some people going, hey, if you go to Frontenac Farms, if you've never been there, a little bit about it. It's down in Rochester. Beautiful drive this time of year to get down there. It's a fun off-road event. A lot of rocks, some mud. That's where I have a custom tailpipe delete kit now on my Jeep because I bent it twice there and just broke it off. I said, I don't need a tailpipe anymore. So I always call it my tailpipe delete kit. But yeah, that's where that joke comes from, is from Frontenac Farms. It's also the place where my brother-in-law found out that his car alarm on his Jeep was working just fine and he couldn't move his Jeep and he had to jump on somebody else's trailer and get back to Elk River. So a lot of fun memories from Frontenac Farm. The Veterans event coming up, I've heard about every year. I wish I could be there, but I have my other hobby that I'm into is that weekend. It's the only weekend my son can do deer hunting. So we have to go do that. So I'll miss that. It's the only time he can do it, but I'd love to be there with it and talk to you guys and meet you guys in person. So anything else to add on this project?
Oh, like I said, we're going to be out at Frontenac Farms, and we will have plenty of Jeeps for veterans that are listening. If you guys can make it out there, Freedom Riders' big thing is we love to take veterans on rides out on the trail and show you what we love to do and how we love to enjoy our freedom that they so honorably gave us. So, I mean, if you guys are out there and you want to come stop by, come find me. I'll find someone with the seat that's open in a Jeep, and we'll get you out on the trails. We'll show you some great times and how we love to use our freedoms that we are honored with.
Yeah. You guys, if you're listening to this podcast or if you drive a Jeep, you know that Jeeps and our military services are like this, because if it wasn't for World War II and the government saying, hey, let's build some sort of off-roader, the Jeep showed up and then kind of turned to what we're all passionate about. And so it's part of the brotherhood, you could say, of Jeep is the military services. So it's a great connection between the two. So I love it. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I think we got the word out here. Again, if you want to check it out, please help Colin build a new deck. It's on GoFundMe. Let's see those numbers get closer to the goal every minute. And then in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a recap of where we're sitting right now. So I'll mention it next week or the next time I do a podcast. And then we'll take it from there. But the 22nd, 23rd in that ballpark, 23rd is a Saturday, is when the Frontenac Farms deal is. And the Freedom Riders is Kevin. Kevin is going to be on here in a little bit more. We're going to talk about his Jeep because he told me a little bit about his Jeep, and I need to know more. So we're going to have another whole segment about that Jeep, and you're going to want to stick around and listen to it. It has under his contact information, my phone, it's Kevin Miller, but the company name says LSLJ, if that gives you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. So thanks again, guys, for being on, Butch and Kevin. And I want to see some pictures of this deck when it's done. It sounds like it's going to be a great one. So
absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks for having us.
Hey, gang, we're back here with Kevin, and we're going to touch upon a few things. Every time I do these podcasts, there's always one or two things I forget if we have to talk about. So when I got to the second part of this, first thing I said to Kevin, what did we forget? And he goes, I got a couple things. So we're going to let him touch upon a couple more things, and then we're going to get into talking about his LSLJ, and I'm excited about that. But first, let's get in a couple more stats. I know you had some things you wanted to share to help bring home what we've been talking about so far.
So why doing this deck for Colin Jorgensen is such a big thing for me. One out of six vets have an addiction problem in the form of alcohol or drugs as a coping mechanism, which just drives that suicide just way up. And, you know, if we can just help one person, that's one less statistic that we got to worry about. That's someone that's won that battle.
Yep.
You know, and it's just a huge, huge battle for most people.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And one out of six, and using those coping mechanisms. And as I was saying to Kevin, I go, as a retired football player, I say retired, but a former, or like a military person, you don't always ask for help. So sometimes those statistics might be skewed the wrong way, even, because people aren't telling you what they're doing wrong or what they're telling you this thing. So I'm glad you were bringing the light, you know, shedding some light on this subject here. It's a big deal. Anything else we've missed?
No, I mean, like you were saying, football players and military people, we're all that A-type personality. We're that big, you know, macho, I don't need help, I'm fine, I can do this on my own. And, you know, the truth is, we can't. I mean, we need help sometimes. And that's what I love about what the Freedom Riders do is we take those guys, we're going to throw them in a Jeep. We're going to show them a good time. We're going to have some blast, make some laps on the trails. You know, something might happen. Someone gets stuck on a rock that's just like, how'd you do that? And they're going to start laughing. They're going to start talking, having a good time. And that's when they're going to open up. That's why what we do as Freedom Riders is so important. And, you know, the Freedom Riders guys, we're the guys that if that veteran finally gets comfortable and feels good, he can call us at 2-3 o'clock in the morning in the worst moments of his life and be like, hey, I'm on a bar stool and I need someone. I need someone here to help me. And we're going to go there. We're going to pick him off, up off that bar stool or wherever he's at. We're going to help him put his life back together.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You guys do good work. That's great to hear. So that's the things we missed in that first 20 minutes. And so now we're going to get into, a little lighter side of things, and we're going to start talking about some Jeeps, guys. So now is the time you've been waiting for, for some of you. The more fun side, the lighter side. I talked a little bit earlier about some of the projects I had going on my Jeep. And I think what everybody thinks about when they talk about their Jeep TJ, especially, or if heaven forbid you got one of the four-cylinder models, you always want to have a little more power. Just a bit more would be nice. So, and everybody I talk to who has a TJ, this is every TJ owner, wishes they had more room. They want a little more room. So every time they see the LJ, it's like, man, that'd be nice. And you got both of those. Obviously, I kind of teased you. This is an LJ, LSLJ type of conversation. So tell us how you got into Jeeping first off. I want to hear that, how you got into it and how you found this Jeep and then what you did to it. So first off, how'd you get into Jeeping?
So I actually got into it through the military. One of my buddies took me out one day in his Ford Bronco out of all things possible. And we were out there out in California, and I lived in 29 Palms, which is only 30 minutes from Johnson Valley, where they do King of the Hammers. Mm-hmm. So I actually found a XJ out there that I bought for $150 off of a Marine that was getting out of the service, leaving, didn't want to take anything home with him. Well, I bought it, and I ended up doing a whole bunch of work to it. I did Dana 60 front axle swap, 14 bolt in the rear, ARBs all the way around. Then I did a custom four-link suspension on it, front and rear. Well, then I moved back to Iowa, and I got rid of it. This was back in 2006, 2007, right before I went on my first deployment that I had this thing. And then when I got out, it was 2010. Iowa was flat. There's no need for anything like that. Well, I got out of it and, kind of wanted to get back into it for a long time. Well, my wife told me, she's like, you always talk about off-roading. Just go and get yourself another Jeep. Just do it. So I was like, all right, cool.
Okay, your wife is very supportive because mine does not sound like that.
She regrets that decision. She regrets it very bad. So I got on Facebook Marketplace, and this guy had this LJR listed for $9,000. And he just posted, and this was two and a half years ago now. He just posted on there. It was up for like 30 minutes when I saw it. I messaged a guy and said, where are you at? I'm on my way. Do you want cash check or cashier's check? I don't care. Well, then the guy is sitting there talking to me. He's like, so do you want to know if it runs? I was like, don't care. I just want that Jeep. He's like, doesn't matter to you. I was like, nope, does not matter. I want that Jeep.
Yeah.
I get out there, one owner vehicle. The guy never drove it in the winter. Bone stock, had nothing done. I mean, this thing was absolutely cherry. And then I get home and I start changing it.
So start life as an LJ Rubicon?
Yep.
Okay.
Started as an LJ Rubicon, which is the rarest of the rare, apparently.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is it hard to find? If you could find one for $9,000, yeah. If it has a motor or not, just buy it. It's a type of idea.
Oh, with no rust, too. I mean, if some people would see my Jeep now, they'd cry. But that's beside the point.
You're built to use it.
Oh, yeah. So what actually brought up the LS swap, which is what most people love about my Jeep now, I took it off-roading, and my ECM actually decided not to work anymore.
Yep.
So I love my Jeep to death, and Corey Robinson can actually vouch for it. But, yeah, the harder I wheel it, the better it is.
Yeah.
So.
So right now, now we're going to get into the motor piece a little bit, but so you already had Dana 44's front and rear, had lockers built into it, had the 4-liter. I'm guessing it was an automatic because most LJs are automatics. Am I right?
Yes, was an automatic.
Was an automatic. So like, what color is it? Because some people might want to picture this in their mind.
Silver, and it had the factory hardtop and the factory softtop NXT.
All right.
So, slam back. Group.
That's awesome. I know I sold my hardtop for $1,000 or $900, but I know the LJ hardtops go for about $2,000. So, and I sold my hardtop because I wanted to do fenders on it, and I paid for that and then some. So, did you keep the hardtop?
No, I actually sold the hardtop because I don't ever use it. I find myself more topless with this thing than any other time.
My conclusion for it was I saw some JKs driving through the woods, and they're rubbing their top on some branches and some rocks, basically, because we're tipped like this, and I could see the LJ, not the LJs, the JKs hitting. Like, if I had my hardtop on right now and I break it, it's worth $0. But it's perfectly good right now. I could sell it for $900 to $1,000. So I just said, it's got to go. Because soft top, you can replace really easy. And you can rip it, whatever. I'm kind of looking forward to ripping my soft top so I can get a new one. But even if you bend the bows, you can buy replacement bows for $100 off of Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. But a hardtop, not so much. And so I'm like, well, that's just money in the bank right there. So it's kind of what I had a dual top group too. So I came to the same conclusion. I'm like, hey, I'm not using it. I hate bouncing around, moving around, putting the rafters, bringing it down, find a place to store it. I'm like, let's just move on from it. So I kind of came to the same deal as you did. So
mine was kind of forced on me though.
Yeah.
My wife literally looked at me and she's like, this is starting to cost a lot of money for this supposed easy bolt-in motor swap you're gonna do. Like, you better come up with some money fast. So
awesome. So when did you decide? You said the ECM went out in the Jeep, so was this that your hand was kind of forced and you moved into an LS? So tell us a bit about the motor. What did it come out of?
So the motor actually is an aluminum block LT block, which if you know your motors, it's one of the best motors you can get.
Yeah.
And it has all the LS components in it, the roller cam, all that stuff. Well, from stock, they have that.
Yeah.
Well, I changed it. It's the 5.7 liter aluminum block LT motor. Mm-hmm. And it's actually out of a Corvette. I took the motor, stripped it down, set it out, bored it out a little bit, had it freshened up, put flat top pistons in it, and did a bunch of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stayed true to the roller cam because I wanted the RPMs. Mm-hmm. And I wanted as little friction as possible. I did 6-to-1 rocker ratio, roller tip rocker ratio. And then here's where the best fun part about this whole motor comes from. I went out and found a Vortec 5.7 liter motor. The Vortec heads on those motors are some of the best flowing heads you can get. I sent the heads out. I had 202 valves put in it and a bunch of just stupid work done to them to make them so they flow absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Bolted those on, and I can still run pump gas, believe it or not. That was my big goal, was pump gas. But I should be right around 450 horse and upwards of 500 foot-pounds of torque.
That's so, a lot for a 3,800-pound vehicle.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's not so bad, but a good friend of mine, Corey, he actually likes to make fun of my Jeep because the very first time we went out, he told me about December timeframe,
mm-hmm,
that we are going to go and go to Gilbert in the spring. I told him, I was like, well, my motor doesn't run right now. And he's like, well, you got a time frame. You have until this day to get this done. I was like,
deadlines.
All right, you know, no big deal. And I look over at my wife and she's like, well, I guess you got to get it done. Just get it done. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this. Well, I start going to town on the Jeep, get the motor out. And all of a sudden, money starts to go into it. And my wife goes, whoa, slow down. Starting to spend a lot of money really fast. Well, about a week before we were supposed to go to Gilbert, Corey calls me up and he's like, hey, how's the Jeep running? And I told him, not. Like, what do you mean not running? Well, I changed the whole injection system on this motor. So originally it had single port throttle body injection on it. That wasn't good enough for what I wanted. I wanted multi-port direct port injection. So I went with a Elbrock ProFlow system. So my whole motor now is controlled off of one single tablet. I can change everything on the fly. And it's the best thing I could have ever done for this motor. I can change my fuel ratios, my injection timing, my engine timing, all that stuff, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, when he called me again on Sunday night, the week that we're leaving, so we're leaving Thursday morning, we're all going down to Gilbert. Oh. He calls me on Sunday night. He's like, so, this thing running yet? And I was like, sure. I sent him a picture, and it's my Jeep without a motor in it, and the motor that's supposed to be in it next to it. So he calls me up and he's like, so you're not coming to Gilbert anymore? I was like, no, I'll make it. Well, the fun part about this whole swap, it's not a direct bolted. There's not a kit out there for it. Nothing like that.
Yeah, there's not much out there like that, especially you. To be honest, here's a funny thing. You're the second guy I know to put a Corvette engine into a Jeep. But the first one put into an LJ.
Well, if you're going to go big, you got to go big. I mean, the nice thing about this is like I said, I got about 450 horse, and I bolted up to a turbo 400 transmission. So I got a transmission that can handle it. And then I kept the Rubicon transfer case, so I'm still running the OR 241 rock track transfer case, I think is what they call them.
Yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, it's a great combination, but to make matters worse, once I got my motor in and we're up going to Gilbert, I got maybe 15 miles of actual drive time on my Jeep before I put it on a trailer and took it to Gilbert. And we get up there and I'm still, you know, 32 inch tall tires with a 2-inch lift that I have on it. And Corey's just looking at me like, you got it done in there. I was like, yep. He's like, so what are you running for gears? Because I know you said you're going to do stuff to your axles. It's like, yeah, I'm geared for 37s or 40s right now. He's like, and that means what? I was like, means I got 513 gears with 450 horse on 32-inch tall tires. It's that first weekend, it was nothing but headaches. I mean, Corey will even tell you we had to stop every couple minutes to tune things or adjust things. So,
very good. Yeah, it's called new car blues when something you just put together is not running right. And here's a funny joke. Every time I dream about cars, like if I like legit, like during the night dream about cars, they never run right. I have yet to have a car ever run right in my dreams. And so I hate it when my stuff does not run right. But I couldn't imagine sticking a whole new motor in and only having 15 minutes on and then kind of working through the bugs that you got to work through when you put something like that in there. Quick question for you. So this is not a Corvette. Was it like a late 80s Corvette? Is that type of?
90s. 95.
Yep, so it's one of the last 3.7s, 5.7s that they had, right?
Yep, it was right before they started doing the 6.0 and the 5.3, like right in that generation when they were starting to change. So it's like the very last 5.7 that they came out with, which is the first LT. But the nice thing about those years is if you do your research and look everything up, you can find that one year where they have all the LS internals inside the old 5.7s.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of thought process that went into this. And I wanted something different. I originally was going to do a diesel swap, but when my ECM kind of went out on me, it forced my hand. So,
yeah. Yeah, diesel swaps, as listeners of the podcast know, my buddy Wade really wants to do a diesel swap. He's a big diesel guy. And I think that's cool. I just like, if the motor is running, don't pull it out. It's my thought process. The four liter is a great motor. But he watches a lot of other videos and like, oh, when this thing blows up, I'm putting a diesel in it. But I would be like more the gas guy, like what you're talking about. I thought it was when I first talked to you, I thought it was gonna be a 5.3 out of a pickup truck. I had no clue it was gonna be a vet. So that was a new one to me. Or new thought process. I had no clue that you're gonna come with that one. Especially that year, as soon as you said aluminum LT head, I'm like, well, I know exactly what that's out of. That's out of a bet. So I knew exactly where you're coming from there. Now, questions I have, Obviously automatic transmission. Does it have heat?
Yes, it does have heat.
Does it have heat? And I asked you this before, and you told me you're going to tell me the story. Does it have air conditioning?
No. So I actually sacrificed air conditioning because originally I was going to use an AC pump to control an onboard air system. Downside to the Corvettes, the way they got their pulley systems worked up with the serpentine belt, they're long and low to the ground. Mm-hmm. With the Jeep, that does not really work because you do not have all that real estate underneath that hood. Mm-hmm. So I had to adapt the whole front of this motor to run off of a truck pulley system, in which that put my AC pump really high on my hood. And I just couldn't sacrifice my stock LJ hood yet to run AC. So I ended up doing an AC delete kit on it, and I have a pulley there now. But it's a low profile pulley. And tell you the truth, I really don't need the AC because I never run with a top on. So it's really not much of a need for me.
Yeah. But that's fine. I mean, if I was real hot in the summertime, my top's always off anyhow. But every now and again, it's nice to have a little cool air on you. So I like the AC every now and again, but that's always the one hard thing to figure out when doing these swaps. From what I hear is, can you get AC and heat to figure out with these deals? And I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube and different car shows, Motor Trend Television. So these guys figure it out, but obviously that's their life and they want to have it. They live in a climate that needs it. So now, is it still on stock axles?
It's still Dana 44s, but they've been sleeved, chromolied, and geared. So, I mean, my 44s are about as built as they can be without changing them. And I don't want to go up to one ton axles because I like my clearance, my 44s. And I don't plan on going any taller than a 37 inch tall tire as of now.
What do you have under now for tires? Is it 37?
Nope. Actually, so I got a set of 34 95 Super Swamper TSLs for free. I don't know how I end up with that. I end up finding them. The guy literally said, you know what? I don't want them anymore. Get them out of here. Well, I end up going there to pick them up, and they're brand new. One of them had a cut on it so deep that the lug was kind of cut off. So I end up having to replace that one, but I paid $300 for four tires, essentially.
There you go.
They're all brand new.
So is this trailer only, or is this do you drive it on the street too?
It is 100% street legal.
Okay. Do you take it out a lot?
I do. The only downside, like I said, is 450 horse. Makes it a little fun to drive. And up until these 34s were put on it, when I had my 32s, I'd be turning about 3 to 3,100 RPMs at 60 mile an hour. So, I mean, going down the interstate, you're just screaming. And I was like, you know what? I can't be doing this all the time. I got to get my tires on here before sooner. I couldn't risk that motor.
And so what's the gears? Is it still 513s? Or I can't remember if you changed gears.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is 513s. And like I said, it goes over anything I want it to now. Otherwise, I just hit the gas and I just jump it. So.
The cheap pedal, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone jokes around with me and they tell me I have the Jeep that identifies as a buggy.
Oh. I've seen some buggy runs. That's crazy watching those guys go, because obviously a buggy is just an exoskeleton with no bodywork. So if they roll it, they don't care. And they can bounce it off the walls. It's amazing. See a few of those guys work. I'm like, oh. I mean, I like to drive my Jeep to the trail and also drive it home. So,
well, like I was saying, my Jeep has a weird personality. The easier I wheel it, the more I break. Yeah. If I'm just on some dirt road, just kind of casually driving, my Jeep gets mad at me and Glory will just break.
Yeah.
Glory's the name of my Jeep, actually. It's kind of the Freedom Riders theories. Our theme is American type names. So I have Glory and my wife has Hero, which is a four-door JK, which will be getting a Hemi swap here when her motor blows up. But that's down the road. I got to recoup some of the money that I've dumped into this one, according to her.
Yeah, I mean, it's I get a hobby to say it'd be fun, but they didn't tell you how much it was going to cost, you know. So having two Jeeps is just it's almost hard to have two Jeeps. I have two Jeeps, but one is my wife's WK2, so it's not an off-roader at all. But my pickup is. I take it deer hunting and do all that stuff, and I do a little bit of off-roading, but mainly just to get to the deer stand back. And every now and again, man, I should put some big tires and lift on. I'm like, well, then I'm paying for two vehicles that have all that fun stuff on. So it can be expensive. So that one's just, those two are staying stock. Less problems. Keep it that way.
Well, my biggest issue with my Jeep, now that I've done this, I have all the power in the world, and especially since the Trail Lizards color run that I went on, I put the 34s on for that. I have yet to find something that has stopped me. And I'm the guy that I'll look at something and I'll go, you know what? I'll give it a shot. As everyone's backing down, trying to turn around, I'm the one trying to bounce up it. And so far, she's made it up a lot of stuff that I look back and go, wow, I really shouldn't have done that.
There's plenty of times I've done that. And I remember the first time I went, I told the story a few times. First time I went, I was so nervous, my jaw hurt. And then I almost fell asleep on the way home because the stress finally went away. And now I can climb. I'm climbing something, talking to my kid who's next to me, and looking over here. Oh, look at the ledge is down there. So, and the one time out in Wisconsin, we're tipping so much. You can see we're tipping so much on the side. I could take my finger, go like this, and touch the ground. I was like this, driving up this hill. I was like, this is kind of fun. There's a wall here, and touching dirt, and there's a tree root I'm grabbing. And that's one of the reasons I sold the hardtop, because I could see the soft top almost hitting this tree that we're sitting like this and going towards. And the JKs had to turn around because they couldn't fit, because JKs are kind of portly compared to a TJ. And so that's why an LJ is the best of both worlds, because it has the length and not the width, and make it fit in those little guys. And
the best thing about LJs, I have my full tool set and all my gear to change out my tire, my strap, plus I have a back seat.
Yeah, quit bragging. That's called a humble brag right there.
Oh, I love it. I point it out to every two-door JK and TJ out there is, hey, yeah, so I got all this stuff. Where's your back seat, by the way?
I take the back seat out, toss it. I don't need that anymore when I go off-roading. But, yeah, it'd be nice to have that room. So, awesome. So, where are you going next? You're going to take it on the Freedom Ride down in – I'm sorry, the Veterans Ride down in coming up here, right?
Yep, I'll be down there. Me and Corey were actually on the color run. We went out to Mesabi Mountain Pass, and this is where Corey's actually decided he wants to do an LS swap if he ever decides to pull a trigger. But we were on two-step, the obstacle out there. I don't know if you've been to Mesabi Mountain
Pass yet. I got to go to it.
Well, any of you listeners out there that have been on the Mesabi Mountain Trail, the obstacle two-step is – it's just a straight climb, and there's just little tiny steps on it that are about 2 foot tall or whatever. Well, my rear locker had stopped working on me, and I was up on it, and I was trying to get up on the last step, and I told Corey to watch out because I'm going to give it gas. Well, he'd stepped off to the side because he was kind of spotting for me and helped me get lined up, and I gave it about half to three-quarter throttle, and he said that my whole Jeep just jumped straight up and just landed on top. He's like, it was just uncanny, the power that you just unleashed with it. He's like, I would hate to see what you would do if you actually wanted to get up something.
So they got power. So have you weighed it at all to see, is this 4,100, 3,800? Where is that for weight?
I actually lost about 120 pounds by doing this motor swap.
That's awesome. So you lost a little bit of weight. That's crazy to kind of hear that. But aluminum block will do that, right?
Aluminum block, aluminum heads. I mean, I went a full aluminum setup. And the best part about it is I have a silver Jeep with a purple motor. I had to do something different that just brought everyone's attention to it. So I painted the motor just bright purple, which does not look normal in a Jeep at all. But once you start looking at it, it's like, oh, well, that's not normal at all either. But
It'll stick out, that's for sure. So, awesome. Well, I think if you guys are going to go down to the Frontenac Farms on the 23rd, that weekend coming up here, so a couple weeks away, check it out. He'll have the Jeep there. I heard he's taking offers, if you're selling it right now. Just kidding. I've heard you've gotten a couple offers, right?
I've been offered $30,000 for it, and I just kind of looked at the guys like, yeah, no, I haven't really got to play around with it too much. I'm planning on doing a trip out to the Rubicon in about 2 years with Corey, and we're going to be actually doing that with the Freedom Riders, so we'll be taking a couple veterans out there with us. And next summer, we're going down to Missouri to go to Flat Nasty and two other parks down there.
Yeah, Corey was just telling me about that last week, so that he's going down there, and he works with me online, my fitness deal, and so while he was talking, I was, you know, Googling the stuff and figuring out where it's all at, and I love to look at maps and see where it's all at, and sooner or later I'll get out. I got in the senior year issue right now, so all my time is spent doing that, along with that, so but I'm going to get out there hopefully next summer and get to see more stuff. Can't wait. Well,
you guys should come with us. I mean, we're going down there next summer sometime, and I've been talking about going to Flat Nasty for the past 2 years. Ever since Corey's met me, I've told him that we got to do a trip down there just because there's one obstacle that's just absolutely gnarly I want to do. Wow. So
I'll sit and watch you do it. Send the crazy person up first. It's always the idea. Send the guy at the big motor. You know, when we go off-roading, I don't know, with my friends, so I'm impatient. I'm a very impatient, you know, person. We're sitting around. I'm like, hey, we're not here to sit around and talk. Let's keep moving. So I always try to let people go first, but then by the third obstacle, I'm leading the way because I'm like, let's just go. Come on, we gotta get going. It's gonna be 6 p.m. before we get off this trail if we go this slow. So that's kind of the way I am at when I go, but I love to see other people try obstacles first and see, well, am I gonna try that or not? And for the most part, I end up doing it because I'm like, well, Wade got up and I better try because otherwise he's gonna tease me forever. So that's kind of the way with a lot of obstacles in me. Awesome. Well, any other trips planned in the near future, let me know, and I'll talk to people where you might be with this cool Jeep. I'm sure people are going to want to see it, but the next one, like I said, Frontenac Farms is where we're going to be. It's been great having you on, Kevin. This has been fun.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for having us and getting the information out about Freedom Riders and Frontenac and Colin's deck that we're trying to do for them. And
yeah, we're going to repeat that one more time. It's like GoFundMe. And it's called Please Help Us Build Colin's New Deck. If you typed in Colin Deck under the little search thing, you'll find it in 5 seconds, guys. It's not hard to find. But please help with that, kind of wrapping that idea up too, just kind of make sure we get the word out there on that. But otherwise, have fun in the trails, and I can't wait to meet you in person. We're doing this once again on the dreaded Zoom here, guys, just because he lives way south of me, and I wanted to get this out as soon as I can. And so we're going to get the word out here, and hopefully we can help out Colin. But thanks a lot, Kevin, for being on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Again, thanks for listening to the Cross Thread Off-Road Podcast brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Why help people in person and online in small groups, large groups, one-on-one, you name it. Just reach out to me. If you're looking to get in better shape, lose weight, tone up, you name it, I can help you out. I've been doing it since 1999. So reach out to me on Facebook, PrimeShapeFitness.com, or Facebook, Prime Shape Fitness. Find me. We'll talk.